it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
How long Dan Lanning staying at Oregon? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Started off the show with a little college football because, Pearl, we found ourselves in this discussion. This is like a barroom, newsroom discussion about college football coaching, and then specifically Dan Lanning. So you are going to have Big Noon. Fox is going to be covering Oregon Northwestern.
Oh, yeah. Throw out the record book. The history there.
Yeah, Big Ten battle.
Let's face it. Northwestern should be covering Oregon as journalists, not covering them on the football field.
Ouch. And, you know, obviously Dan Lanning has become one of the darlings of college football. And he has earned that because his success at Oregon, they have not won a ring yet. But his success at Oregon, you can clearly see, you know, his impact. But here's the question. Number one, is he going to stay there for a decade? Because for as great as some of the Oregon coaches have been at Oregon, there's been some duds also. Mm-hmm. They generally leave, you know, and it's not considered one of the blue blood programs of college football. That's not to say it's not impressive. That's not to say it's not well funded. It's not to say it's not a factor. I'm not belittling Oregon when I say it's not a blue blood, but you do not put it in the same conversation as far as history is concerned with like Notre Dame and Michigan. I think a lot of football fans would not put Oregon in that same historical list.
Right.
And that's not it's not a diss. It's just like, that's where they are. The new blue bloods, one of the new blue bloods. And so, is there a thought, and obviously Alabama is a tangential part of this because mm-hmm. of Kalen DeBoer losing to Florida State, and we'll see what happens with having to replace Nick Saban. Is that even a great place to go coaching Alabama right now, which is one of those blue blood programs? And do you think that Dan Lanning is better off staying at Oregon, or do you think he has to go to one of those blue bloods to, is that like the next rung up the ladder, or is he as high up in college football as you get?
Yeah, I mean, like, is Nebraska a blue blood? Of course, I guess. Is Oklahoma blue blood? Yeah, but they're not even in the same category with Oregon right now. Like, Oregon blows them away. I would think, first of all, Dan Lanning already turned down Alabama last year, and that was a better opportunity than this year. So if they fired Kalen DeBoer and paid that massive, massive buyout, why would Dan Lanning go now if he said no last year? Because it's become very clear in the new NIL world that Alabama is not Alabama. They are not going to be able to outspend a team like Oregon. So follow the money. Of course, Oregon. Oregon's a top five situation in the whole country, probably.
Yeah. So as far as like blue bloods and who is on this list, we did this a while ago, and our pal Andy Staples, who we really like and we respect, you know, had a lot more maybe blue bloods than pop maybe I would have put on the list. But his list was Alabama, Florida State, Georgia, LSU, Michigan, Oklahoma is on that list. Miami, Notre Dame, Texas, Ohio State, Tennessee, and USC. The notable snubs there were Nebraska, Florida, and Penn State. So this is like kind of what we're talking about.
Yeah, but those are definitely not like there. That might be blue bloods historically, but those are not the best jobs. Like nobody's clamoring for those jobs over Oregon. Like Florida State is not a better job than Oregon. Totally. Like nobody, yeah. And Oklahoma is not a better job than Oklahoma. Like they have Brent Venables.
Well, Oklahoma might be back this year with John Mateer,
but they have no sustained success. Right. So I could, like history, sure, but like this is a new world. There's no way those schools are ahead of Oregon. Some of them are, but most of them are not.
So do you think that we're watching a guy like Dan Lanning? I want to play some of his latest locker room speech that they put out recently because it's good. This guy makes you want to run through a wall for him. He's got it.
There's no reason to leave Oregon for those kind of programs.
Okay, so he's a young coach. I mean, Dan Lanning is young in his career, especially with college coaching. Bill Belichick is on the sidelines, for goodness sakes. He's 72, 73. You think he just stays there?
I don't think, honestly, I mean, obviously Florida will make a massive run at him this offseason. I'd be surprised if he left Oregon. If he leaves Oregon for the SEC, I'd be surprised. I think NFL would be the next logical step, not another college program. Because, I could be wrong. In 6 months, he could be hired in Gainesville. But I think, why would you leave Oregon? What's a better program?
Well, I mean, again, it goes back to not everyone on that blue bloods list, but like even say in the NFL, for example, right, where there's a salary cap and where you don't have any, in theory, you have no other advantages besides what every team can offer, right?
That's pros, not college.
This is pros, as I'm saying, though. As far as there's 32 teams in the NFL, they can all offer the same thing. This is not recruiting. You all offer the same thing. Yet there are still teams in the NFL that matter more than other teams. Like, there are still teams in the NFL that I would consider, like, because of a historical reason or whatever, there still is maybe a little bit more cachet with those teams as opposed to other teams. And so, and that's with all things being equal. So for Dan Lanning, like, even in college football, if he's got, you know, and again, this sounds like a dig at Oregon. It's not meant to be. But is there a thought, does he have this pie in the sky, like, the fact that Alabama has the type of history, he was a grad assistant in Alabama, worked for Nick Saban, who's not there anymore, but still, is there any of that pull of history, even if you may not be at the same advantage that, you know, Phil Knight's money gets you?
Well, we have our answer.
What?
He was the front runner. He was clearly could be in Alabama right now. He said, no, thank you.
Yeah, well,
there's no doubt he was the number one choice. He pulled himself out of it, but.
Totally. But
like, the answer is clearly no.
See, I think there was more to it than that.
What?
Timing. You know, I don't want to be the guy after the guy. It's challenging.
Right. But you're still going to be the guy after the guy for a long time there.
But not like Kalen DeBoer is taking a lot of the shrapnel right now. Don't you think? Like,
I think he needs to take a little more before that job becomes safe. But yeah, I see what you're saying.
More guys
timing is, yeah. I get when you say timing, like, is it soon enough? But also too, but like you can't ignore Maggie the money. Like there was I looked
for
up
the coach
last,
or for the program.
The program. I saw AJ McCarron, the former Alabama quarterback, said if we're lucky, we're spending $20 million on the program, and I know as a fact there are programs spending $50 million. That's less than half, and. I mean, that's been why do you think Nick Saban left? Alabama doesn't have the money. Maybe they'll get it someday, but you're not going to go from a $200,000 Tesla to a $75,000 Cadillac. You know, there's just more resources right now at Oregon than Alabama. Don't you think? I mean, eyeballing it.
Yeah, I know the crying poor from Alabama, first of all, after losing to FSU, I felt like was a little, and that's when AJ McCarron, who I respect and is really good at broadcasting, it felt a little like excuse making.
But why would Alabama have more money than Alabama is? That's the reality of the NIL. It's like, how is Alabama going to outspend Texas? Like, okay. It doesn't make any sense.
Okay, but see, here's the thing. You still do have these NIL opportunities, right? Like, you can still make money. The players can still make money in these marketing deals.
Okay.
So playing for Alabama still brings you a cachet, visibility. Yeah. There is all the things that you get with a historic program, you will get at Alabama. Like, you are going to get eyeballs. You're going to be constantly in the spotlight. So whether it's coming from the athletic department or whether it's coming from whatever comes on top of it, like, I find it hard to believe that Alabama is just getting completely left in the dust here. Like, they don't have two nickels to rub together. That is how it's being painted. Because
I mean, Oregon invented this game. Honestly, this is like you're talking about marketing. Who would possibly have an advantage over the Oregon Ducks? They're really the innovators.
Then why haven't they won? I mean, they went 13-0 last year. They got pretty dang close, and they lost to Ohio State. I get it, but
yeah. But you're talking about on the marketing end, like they're high end. Here's where I think you and I differ. Like, anything that happened in the 120, I don't know when the college football started, 120 years before NIL is now gone. Now we have a new universe. And listen, Tommy Tuberville and certain senators are trying to claw it back to the old way, and it ain't happening.
No, it's not.
Now that we have open payment, I think, and it's not going to be the NFL. There's not going to be a salary cap, at least for now, that I just think that the big rich schools are going to have an advantage here. And I don't know. Listen, there's a lot of competition in the Southeast. I think there's a reason the SEC is all of a sudden struggling. I think that it's going to be hard in the new NIL world for like the quote unquote blue bloods to be dominant like they used to be. Like, Alabama was great in the old system. Are they going to be great in the new system? We don't know yet. Could they be like You mentioned all the other blue bloods. All of them disappeared. Nebraska disappeared. Oklahoma disappeared for a long time. Notre Dame hasn't won a title in 40 years. Miami disappeared. Florida State disappeared. College football is very cyclical, and I feel like Alabama's about to hit their Mike Shula stage.
Oh, boy.
And I was high on Kalen DeBoer.
Yeah, right.
But I don't think the sustained success they had under Saban, can you do that in the new universe where there's so much money around? Like, look at Texas. Look how many five-stars they're paying for. I don't know. I just don't think they're going to have the money. And I think Lanning knows that.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Asking you today, is Dan Lanning going to be at Oregon for the next decade? Decade plus. I mean, the guy's in his 40s. Like, he could do this forever if he wants to.
But I mean, what about the NFL?
Okay, so, well, let's talk about the NFL, right? I think that will always be there for him.
Yeah.
What I anticipate in this new world of NIL is... it's going to actually be the basketball coaches that are flocking to the NBA more than maybe even the college football coaches are flocking to the NFL. And the reason why I say that is because of Alabama. And I was thinking about this the other day when Alabama loses to FSU in the way that they did in the opener. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about all the limited resources. I love this. The limited resources that Alabama has. It's still hard for me to wrap my brain around the fact that they're now crying poor. But let's put that to the side. If they truly don't have enough, they feel, to compete, where do you think they're going to start taking from? Forget it. The basketball program's getting bupkis now. And so if I'm like a great college basketball coach in the SEC or in the Big Ten or whatever, if my football program, heaven forbid, loses a game on the road when they're a 14-point favorite or whatever they were at FSU, basically that just napalmed the Alabama basketball program. So... if I'm a basketball coach, I'm definitely going to the NBA. If I'm a football coach, I still think that I'm getting all the resources they possibly have going into my program. So I'm not maybe as quick to say, all right, if I'm Dan Lanning, I got to jump to, you know, go coach the Carolina Panthers or whatever.
I'm trying to think of your logic makes sense, but are there any like college coaches that the NBA is sniffing around other than Danny Hurley? Like, who are the...
Well, Nate Oates would probably be a guy at Alabama. Like, if I were Nate Oates, I'd leave.
Who's the last guy? Like, how many in the last offseason were any college coaches hired?
Well, I mean, you do have Billy Donovan is still in the league, you know.
That was 20 years ago.
I know, but he's been in the NBA now for a while.
I remember Lon Kruger.
The last one.
What's that?
John Beilein might be the last one.
And that was a disaster.
Yeah, I feel like... great. Yeah, I feel like because college basketball, like, first of all, can the average person name three college basketball coaches? The glory days of college, they all retired. So I don't know that that's going to happen. But the other thing, too, you said this thing about one thing I totally disagree with, this blue blood NFL program. What are the blue blood NFL program to look at their coaches? You have the Dallas Cowboys hired the lowest wattage coach known to mankind in Brian Schottenheimer. The Giants are presumably blue blood. They have Brian Daboll. And meanwhile, Jim Harbaugh goes to the Chargers, who have no history. So I think anybody, I don't think the NFL works like on the blue blood system at all. I think money speaks here. And that's why I think Dan Lanning, if he's smart, just stay at Oregon. Maybe he wants to get a free agent deal and sign with Florida or something, but... I don't know, like, what's missing in Oregon, in the new world? Nothing. He can recruit in California. He's got all the money in the world. He's got the best facilities, probably top five facilities.
Yeah, it's beautiful there.
So
everything is gorgeous.
Right. I just don't see, like, Alabama, like, why would you go down there? Because you're competing in a much more competitive space. You're in the SEC. You have to play Georgia every year. He's not going to get Georgia where he was an assistant. So I'd be surprised if he went there, if he went to Florida. If you went to LSU, maybe LSU after Brian Kelly, because he'll pay through. But I don't know. If he stays in college, I would be Oregon. Do you think he'll leave?
I just find it, when I think about it, it does make all the sense. You are pointing out some great points, but do I really think Dan Lanning, who's this young in his career, is this going to be a guy like, is he the Kirk Ferentz of now Oregon, where he's just going to stay at one place forever and ever and ever and ever?
No, probably not. I mean, Chip stayed how long? Like 4 years or something? Chip reinvented college football, then left for the pros.
I think Chip Kelly, though, wanted to go to the pros. I don't know if Dan Lanning has that. And now Chip's obviously, you know, toggled back and forth Ohio State. Now he's with the Raiders looking
good. But everybody
with Geno
wants
Smith.
To go to the pros.
Well,
I mean, Nick did. Saban did.
Yeah, that's true. And it didn't work out, and he's back.
If Ryan Day keeps losing to Michigan, he'll end up in the pros.
He won a national title. This guy cannot catch a break.
I think there's a certain transition. I kind of disagree. I think the transition from... in football to the pros makes more sense because all the college football coaches say they're working too hard. So
they get burnt out.
They're burnt out. So maybe they go to the pros where
I'm sure the work-life balance of the pros is really healthy.
I think there's an esteem of going to the NFL. Yeah. You know, I think there's an esteem of going to the NFL. I think it also exists for basketball, but to win at the highest level means something. I would think Dan Lanning would love to go to the NFL. I mean, every kid dreams of that. Why not? Why would you stay in college if, say, I don't know, name a team, say the Cowboys were open, or say, I can't even, Miami. Dan Lanning, Miami Dolphins calls. That's a pretty nice little nugget there.
The New York Football Giants.
Good luck with all that in Miami. Yikes.
Well, yeah,
you want to take over that team that hasn't won a playoff game since 2000?
Jay Fiedler.
He's a young man. He might enjoy South Beach. He's, 41? I don't know. It's the Miami Dolphins.
Supposed to be a family man.
Yeah.
Nick Saban took over the Miami Dolphins. What's wrong with the Miami Dolphins? They're not great now, but it is an esteemed program.
You're inheriting a headache. You get hired by the Dolphins, it's like the Homer Simpsons, the Grandpa Simpsons meme where you walk in the door and walk out of the door. Mm-hmm. It's like, you're hired to be fired.
Jim Harbaugh took over for Brandon Staley, or maybe there was some. Yeah,
of Justin Herbert. Like, that's why.
Yeah, but you don't think Miami's going to get their version of Justin Herbert?
That was also the NFL's bad, because Jim Harbaugh was doing interviews at every place he possibly could. The Raiders should have hired him a long time ago. Vikings are doing well with Kevin O'Connell, but they could have used Jim Harbaugh too, and it just took Harbaugh winning a national title to get him hot again on the NFL stage.
Mr. Lanning, can I interest you in Jackson Dart in New York City?
New
Jersey.
They'll definitely sniff around him.
888-710-4ISN. So this is what caught our ear yesterday. Can we hear a little Dan Lanning and fire everybody up this morning?
Yeah, sure.
Or this evening, depending if you're on the West Coast. Dan Lanning, this is pregame speech after Mike Gundy had called out the program, saying if we had this much money, you know, gosh, we'd be in such great shape at Oklahoma State. Dan Lanning
I'm 40.
Didn't appreciate that. Said, well, if you just spent more of your money on the players and less of it on yourself, paraphrasing, you know, maybe you'd be in a better spot. Oregon goes out and wins 69-3. Here's Lanning.
And it wasn't that close.
The great thing about us is we don't need any extra motivation to come in and want to whoop your ass. But it sure does help when your opponent pours a little gasoline on you. And they poured a little gasoline. The great thing about this game is what they think versus what I know. I know about this team's work. I know about this team's sacrifice. I know about this team's connection. Right? That's going to be a separator in this game. Because if you're going to come in and you're going to be talking it's time to cowboy it up. But guess what? The Bull don't care. And today, we're the Bull. Let's go up there.
Oh my God, give me a helmet now.
I know. Like, we were like getting goosebumps on that.
Him using the cowboy reference, playing the Cowboys and the Bull, is just, that guy is special. I'm sorry, I love him. He's my favorite coach.
Oh,
and I hope he never leaves Oregon.
I hope they have every punt inside the five. Wow, what a speech.
Can we talk about Oklahoma State for a second? Apparently they spent all the money on vibrating chairs in the locker room, like the kind you see at the mall. Like, do we need a left guard, or do we need like a super fancy ping pong table here in the locker room? Like, their facility is supposed to be magnificent. And it's just an insane decision. I totally believe, like, he's right. Like, they also, when you spend money, you got to spend on the right players. That's true. But I read that they put all their money into these sick facilities.
I'm sorry. Yeah. If you're one of those people sitting in that vibrating chair in the mall, like, I'm simultaneously jealous of you because you're actually going for it with the vibrating chair, and also yuck.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now there's a 3-star left guard at Oklahoma State sitting in that vibrating chair because they couldn't afford the 5-star.
They still have malls?
Yeah,
they still have malls?
Oh, come to the burbs, man. Got you covered.
We stayed at a hotel recently on our summer vacation, and my wife has some hip issues from running too much, and there was a vibrating chair. She's like, oh, I can't wait to use that. It was in the hotel, and they were out of order. And we asked the hotel person, they've been out of order for 6 years. And every mall is like that, too. Every vibrating chair is out of order.
Did you
and my
Lucy,
wife had seven injuries. She got kicked by a horse. Oh, you have
you
no
idea.
You
guys get on either side, you know, and you and Lucy just start shaking the chair
that
to help your
nice,
wife.
That would be nice. My wife probably wouldn't have paid seven quarters for that. But But no, seriously, we should all do a trip to Oklahoma State. Apparently,
I thought you said to the mall, like Cheesecake Factory.
I'm in, man.
Where are we going?
Queen Center Mall, not that far.
Sure, Queen Center. Why not?
I love it.
I know we got a break, but why do you not believe that Alabama has less money? Like, why do you not? I mean, it seems like a stone cold fact on every single indication. And Nick Saban walked away for that very reason.
Okay. Well, here, less money and no money are very different things. They're acting like they've got no money, and you have a little bit less, but also you get the benefit of the doubt of being Alabama. Let's think about this. A few years ago, when it was the last year of the four-team playoff,
right,
and Florida State goes undefeated, yeah, and Alabama did not, and who ended up playing in the college football playoff? Because, yes, like they, you know, you could have made a case that they deserved it, but they really didn't, because Florida State went undefeated, and they should have been in the four-team playoff.
Right.
And they got the benefit because they were the program.
No.
And they still...
They were the program when Nick Saban was their head coach. Now they're not the program.
Well, Nick Saban staked you to a pretty good lead here.
Yeah,
you know, what they do with it after, that's on Kalen DeBoer and the coaching staff, and I know there are a lot of people not happy with, obviously, how the season started.
Yeah, but...
Let's not act like you get no advantages of being Alabama.
But you did not when Mike DuBose and Mike Shula were the coaches. Like, they, trust me, they were not must-watch TV. They were, like, 7-5 and in some bowl. Actually, I don't even know if they had the corporate bowl names then, but they were not... They were not getting any benefit of the doubt. These programs come and go. I mean, is Florida State, why did they get any advantage? Like, that has a rich history. When Bobby Bowden was there, they would have made that Final Four.
Because Alabama's, like, riding this incredible high.
Well, I'm just saying, Alabama will go away just like Nebraska and Oklahoma have gone away. It's a very cyclical sport. Florida has gone away. Florida, I mean, if you told a kid in 2007 that Florida would just be an afterthought SEC program, they'd say you were crazy.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Get started today with a little college football. Will Dan Lanning be at Oregon for the next decade? Tell us what you think. Ducks fans, let's go. Also, some more news from the West Coast with the 49ers. Wow, this season is already in turmoil. Can they overcome it? Get to that next. Maggie Perloff.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. Manny, who you spinning right now?
This would be Fade, our discussion from last segment of the show from yesterday.
Yeah,
the boyfriend of Carol G.
That's right, yeah.
Who was the halftime performer of the Chargers Chiefs.
Yeah, the luckiest man on earth, because egad, she's beautiful.
And they're both from the hometown of Medellin, which we all know from the Vincent Chase movie and Entourage.
Yeah, that's exactly why we know Medellin.
That's the only reason.
Yeah. And Narcos, Medellin, that was very familiar. It's pretty cool that they're both from there.
You know, we should do this sometime. Not today, maybe, but another time. It's
Show
Wednesday.
Trip to Medellin.
Yeah, that too. But
I'm out.
A Wednesday, we do Great Debate. The best, like, and most believable fake movie.
Yeah.
That's a great one. Or in a show.
Yeah, I'm stuck on Entourage now. I know if my brain isn't going to other ones, but yeah.
Queens Boulevard. Remember, that was Vinny Chase and Queen. I am Queens Boulevard. Anyone
believe me, I know that movie by heart. All
I know 30. Queens Boulevard. The actual Queens Boulevard. That's why I'm... This tough looking.
Yeah, well,
I gotta be honest. I've been to Queens Boulevard. That is forgettable.
You've gone the wrong parts.
Queens Boulevard. Oh my god, I've been stuck in traffic there. Ugh. Anyway,
that's my hood.
Yeah.
Queens Boulevard. If you ever try and get into JFK and you get stuck on Queens Boulevard,
you're on the wrong Queens Boulevard.
All right. So anyway, we're talking about the best fake movies in a movie, like when a movie or TV show is about an actor, like in Seinfeld, Rochelle.
Yeah, I don't know any movies that do a fake movie, well, right? The producers, I guess.
Tropic Thunder was them making a movie, right?
Yeah.
That's making a movie?
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr., good Lord.
Yeah. What do you mean, you people? Oh, great movie. Okay, we'll tell you what we were talking about last segment if you want to chime in. Will Dan Lanning be the head coach at Oregon for the next decade? Is it even worth it to leave for a blue blood these days? And no disrespect to Oregon, but they're kind of new blood as opposed to blue blood. And then tangentially, what's the best job in the SEC, which we'll get to in just a moment. But Pearl, little bit of a reprieve for your Philadelphia Eagles with Jalen Carter is now only going to be fined $57,000, which is a drop in the bucket for him, after spitting on Dak Prescott the NFL is counting the fact that he got ejected from the opener and had to sit out every single snap of that game kind of as the suspension.
Yes, and people who are criticizing this have to realize, like, what if your guy spit on somebody, they suspended him for two games? Like, because there's a lot of guys have gotten busted for spitting and nobody got suspended for two games. That would be a ridiculous suspension. So this makes perfect sense. This is right down the middle. $57,000 fine. I read the history of spitting fines. This is the biggest fine ever for that. Because I'm telling you, guys do much worse. Not much worse, but they do this kind of stuff all the time on a football field. I think Jalen Carter's biggest crime was he did it in front of while 38 million people were watching. NBC said this was going to be, before the rain delay, the most watch opener they've ever had on NBC in their 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about timing. Jalen Carter, before the game starts, the defending champion, everybody watching, that made it worse to me. And I think his history in the eyes of the public and the media to some extent made it worse. If it was just if Zach Bond, the linebacker, had spit on somebody, we would have already moved on.
Yeah, but see, that's the whole thing, though. Nobody thinks Zach Bond would do something. It'd be very out of character from what we know about Zach Bond,
right,
who was a journeyman before he found the second life with the Eagles and now has gotten paid.
Yeah, it's like, it seems like a good guy.
Well,
good story.
Yeah, or just had a humbling moment in the NFL already. And so you'd be a little bit surprised. Now, I can't claim to know these guys, but I think the big question about Jalen Carter is not about whether or not he would get suspended again for spitting. It's, do you trust this dude to keep it together for the next 5 months? You're in a title defense, and he's one of the most important pieces that you have on defense. I know you won that game against the Cowboys, but man, it was a little closer than everybody thought. And he's clearly one of the best defensive tackles in the league.
Right.
Do you trust that he'll keep his head on straight? Because it might not be spitting. Next time, it could be something else.
Well, are you referring to the tragic car incident? Is that why? I mean, because what other problems does he have? I mean, I might be missing something.
But that's a big one. I mean,
that's kind of different, though. There are a lot of players who've been caught speeding, you know,
okay,
terrible incidents, and it doesn't always translate to the field.
Fair, but what were some of the details of that tragic accident that happened in Georgia, celebrating a win? How does this guy handle success? You know, it was a horrible, horrible mistake that led to a loss of life. Yeah. I'm not comparing the two. I'm just saying, does he have the right mentality? And does he feel like, you know, like, I've already won a Super Bowl, you can't tell me anything? You know, is he not going to embrace the fact that there's a microscope on him now? And there has been since he was drafted. So I can't answer the question. We don't know. He's going to have to prove it. But, you know, I'm looking around at the Eagles defense, and they detailed this on the broadcast, and you've been on top of it. Yeah. They don't have a lot of veteran leadership anymore. They got rid of a lot of those guys. So yeah, there's a lot of his former Georgia teammates are still on the team with the Jordan Davis and stuff like that. But who is the one who's going to where's Brandon Graham? Where's someone like that who might be able to be, you know, a mentor or something in that locker room?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Vic Fangio, who's like 65. It's different.
I don't see that. Who's rushing the passer and who's covering it? Anybody? I mean, you saw CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb, the single best receiver on the Cowboys and maybe top five in the league, running wide open, just running past the DBs like they weren't even there. They don't need to put any resources. They need to put resources into guys who can cover anybody. So I think Howie's going to go nuts on the trade market to fix the defense. And I don't think it's about the old guys. I think it's about the personnel.
No, I'm saying, but he wasn't even on the field. And why? Not because of football. Yeah. He was not on the field because of a bonehead decision.
But you're acting like this is a pattern where has he missed a game for a suspension before? Has he had any on-field trouble since he got to the NFL?
No, but let's not pretend. Well, actually, remember it was his rookie season that he got called out. I think Brian Baldinger called out that they were in bad shape. Was that his rookie season that he faded down the stretch? Anyway.
He had some blow-ups on the sideline with Nick Sirianni. He's had some moments.
Like, the thing is, I don't know if he's going to have any more incidents on the field. You don't know it. I don't know it. But I'll tell you what, I'm monitoring it. And the fact is, even though you guys beat the Cowboys in the opener, he hurt your team because of a mental error.
Fact is, that dude has won a lot of championships already, and he's 24. Like, you know, you could look at him as the negative stuff because he comes off as, let's face it, his demeanor is somewhat scary, and he plays kind of scary. Like, he is the bad guy on defense. Like, and not in a bad sense. Like, he has this persona of, like, this guy is a bit, he's just scary on defense. Like, you don't want to run into him. I mean, what's the ultimate highlight of him? Lifting Jaden Daniels like a little kid in college. Like, he's a freak. Yeah. I mean, he's the fastest, strongest guy out there, and he never smiles. So he looks mean, but I just think that people are reading too much into this and seeing a pattern where I understand. Listen, there's definitely their character concerns, but to me, I thought the spit thing was all overblown. I would imagine he'll play the next 16 games and be great. The Eagles defense, though, because I saw this 2 years ago, I saw the same movie. Started with Dak ripping them apart. Then they lost five games in a row because their defense just got absolutely torched. And hopefully Vic Fangio can keep this together. I'm very worried about the D. I did not pick the Eagles to win. To repeat, neither did you. It does seem like there are concerns. And Jalen Carter is the tip of the iceberg to me.
Let's get to Andrew Bogish, who's got headlines. You're welcome to weigh in at 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. How are we doing today, folks?
Guys, we're good. Your headlines are sponsored by Prize Picks. Don't miss any of the action this football season with Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Download Prize Picks and use code PRIMETIME.
And let's not forget Shallow.
$50 bonus credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
And I'm a loser.
We all know that Pearl will never go to San Antonio and apologize to Victor Wembanyama for calling him a bust. But this weekend would be a good time to go to San Antonio because Wemby and the Spurs are hosting a tryout for a super fan group. This apparently was Wemby's idea, and it's loosely based on the supporters sections he has seen at soccer and basketball games back in Europe. They are looking for energetic fans who can attend at least 75% of Spurs home games. During games, this section will feature, quote, nonstop chants, drums, flags, and passion.
Do they not have this at the Intuit Dome with the wall or the mirror, whatever the hell they call it over there?
The wall.
Also, they're putting Wemby in these marketing meetings? Like, is he?
He is the Spurs.
Yeah.
Wait, I have a question.
It's not a bad idea.
We need a group, though. It said group. So all you guys have to come with me, then.
No. You would be hired to be part of this new group. You don't need to go as
part of what group? What group of Spurs fans is taking me on? You guys are the group. We all have to go.
No, it's like a section of the stands. Like, you just try out to be, and then you're in the gang.
Yeah. But are you sure you don't have to bring the group with you?
No.
This is not like a, you know, America's Best Dance Crew.
No.
This is America's Idol. This is
which would also be something that we would have
this is an
a lot
ultra
of
section.
With.
This is an ultra section, what they're trying to get together.
But you're going to 75% of the home games. It's like a part-time job. And there's no money. Do you get free tickets, I'm assuming?
I didn't see that part about free how you get in. But yeah, they need you to be there. You need to make a commitment to the Spurs.
If you're getting hired, you better get free tickets.
Well, it's like a volunteer basis, no?
I will certainly volunteer for the Knicks to do this. I will gladly go to 75% of their home games.
We know. I kind of like that Wemby was involved in this, though.
Yeah. And there he would be, right there for you to go and shake his huge hand and apologize.
You're not getting within 100 feet of that
guy. He's already not listening. He's already checked out of this.
You could probably, you know, extend your foot on over.
No, I'm looking at the details of how this thing works. To see if I mean, first of all, I'm definitely not a Spurs fan anymore because, like, what are they doing? They keep drafting 6'3 shooting guards. Like, what's going on with the team building there, folks? Did you see Dylan Harper's probably out, too?
Yeah, his thumb?
Yeah, on his left hand. Anyway, I don't know if I can support the Spurs fully.
You're back
we
out.
We know you don't support them. You called Wembanyama a bust.
Well, right. I like Wembanyama, but I don't think they're building the right team around him. No, I'm back in on Wembanyama. I flip-flopped on that one. Yeah, it clearly was wrong.
That never happens.
Well, I was clearly wrong. He's not a bust.
He's amazing. But it's a fair question about the team building.
Oh, it makes no sense whatsoever. Like, what is this team they're putting around him? Like, how can I be in the super group if I don't believe in the vision?
Did this meeting also happen with a bunch of monks and Buddhists around?
Kevin Garnett.
I don't think that helped.
You don't think so?
By the way, you know who else he's hanging out with
now? Hakeem.
Yep.
Dream. I saw that. Yeah.
That's a good pairing.
He's like collecting all the infinity stones of just like people that can inspire him. Monks, Kevin Garnett, and Hakeem Olajuwon. I want to know who's next.
And people were freaking out because he was like dwarfing Olajuwon in the picture that came out over the weekend.
That's like a golf foursome. A monk, Wembanyama, Hakeem Olajuwon, and Kevin Garnett.
Is City Houston happy about this?
Probably not.
6 weeks ago, the San Francisco Giants gave up on the San Francisco Giants, selling off their best bullpen arms at the trade deadline, and now they can't stop winning.
Gallen ready, throws, swing. There's a high drive, deep left field,
way back there. Adios, Pelota.
The great John Miller on Giants radio. Willie Adames, a three-run, first-inning homer. The Giants never trailed in a 5-3 decision over the Diamondbacks. San Francisco has now won 13 of 16 and has almost caught the Mets for the last wildcard spot.
3-1. Schwarber hits a high fly, straightaway center. This one out to the wall. Gone. Number 50 for Kyle Schwarber. A three-run homer in the seventh. And the Philadelphia lead is now a booming 7-1 cushion in the bottom of the seventh.
Hang in there, Keith Rad, Mets Radio. Schwarber's 50th, fueling a 9-3 Phillies win. Those Mets have dropped four straight, 5-6. Manager Carlos Mendoza believes his team will figure out how not to blow this lead.
We will. We're good. You know, we got to play better. You know, and we got to fight. You know, we're in the middle of it. You know, like there's no time to feel sorry or we got to fight. You know, what's in the past is in the past. You know, and we got to continue to take it one day at a time.
Always tack on those cliches. So the Giants are two games behind the Mets. The Reds are three back after a 4-2 win in San Diego last night.
I just Googled EJ. Juan Soto's butt, by the way. Could be weird. By the way, I learned something interesting about baseball history last night.
Okay.
Yes, I love this. Go ahead.
Kyle Schwarber hit his 50th home run.
Correct.
He is the second Philly to hit 50th home runs, and Ryan Howard was the other.
I thought this was about to be a guessing game. Ryan Howard. Too.
But Mike Schmidt never hit 50 home runs, and I knew that.
That's a good point.
But that's crazy. Mike Schmidt, and I looked up, led the National League in home runs 8 times and never got to 50. Like, that's how different the game is now.
What was it, 35, 36 home runs?
48 is the most he ever hit in a season. Like, Mike Schmidt's the greatest slugger of a decade.
Yeah.
And he never hit. Kyle Schwarber just like, I'll pop 50 out of it. Cal Rally, like, home runs are different. That's all I'm saying.
We need some urine samples out of some of these guys.
Wait, wasn't the park different, though, also, where Mike Schmidt was playing versus Citizens Bank?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Park is like
It's a shoebox.
Mike Schmidt came up in the 70s and 80s, and what happened in the 90s?
Right, but you also hit 48, and Schwarber just hit 50, and there's like 10 games left in the season. He didn't hit 50 on May 1st.
No offense, Kyle Schwarber should not really be in the same sentence with Mike Schmidt.
Well, no, but it's, again, I don't think this is the best example of, oh my God, home runs are out of control, when Schmidt hit 48.
I hear
Schwarber's
saying,
on 50 right now. That's
but it's
not,
just like, I mean, as you look at the power rankings of all-time players, like Mike Schmidt might be the greatest third baseman of all time, and Kyle Schwarber stands above him in the Phillies record book. It feels a little funny to me.
Schwarber wouldn't be the kind of player that would be this kind of player in the 70s. Like, this season, yes, but the season before, when he was hitting 46 and 47, hitting 200 or 197, that guy doesn't exist. There's no player hitting 190, hitting 45 home runs.
But Dave, there was one.
Dave Kingman.
Kingman. And he was my favorite player by far. He was the one guy who was allowed to do that. He hit like 180 and would hit 35 homers.
They did not have the tolerance for strikeouts back then that they do today.
Yeah. No, the game is better in that sense.
888-710-4ISN. Bogus, thank you so much. Coming up, we will get to the Niners. We've got the Cowboys and Jerry Jones on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas yesterday, defending his boys. Whew, M&P.
I can't say a word because the Mets are ruining everything.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Know that sound? Cowboy quickie music for you. Jerry Jones back on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, sister Odyssey station. Okay, so here's Jerry, who was asked by the host there about the Eagles offer. Jerry says there was no counter offer from what the Eagles made. That he shut the door on pretty quick.
No counter offer. And the interest, you know, the thought all along was to see where the interest level was. And that was very important. And from the get-go. That was an effort on our part to chum up interest.
Right. So this is now the new story. The new story that Jerry is going to roll with from now till forever is that they were always trading Parsons. Yeah. This was all part of the master plan. They needed to drum up as much interest as possible, and he played everybody, the media included.
I mean, are you surprised? The mastermind is at work again, Maggie.
Jerry strikes again. Jerry says the goal was to boost the interest, to get enough calls from teams, and then strike while the iron was hot.
As it would happen, as it always happens, once that interest started really peaking, then you started having that phone ring. And that's exactly what the plan was, to see if that phone would ring and the proposition be there enough to for us to make the move.
I mean, Jerry's been playing GM for 30 years now.
And he was
unsure if there'd be any interest in Michael Parsons. Like, we really had to put the feelers out. Like, I understand you want to see what the return would be, but, like, you know there'd be interest, whether this is in March, April, May, June, July, ended up being August, but, like, you've been in the game long enough here, Jer.
Okay, can I defend the Cowboys for 1 second? The reality is, Khalil Mack merited 2 first-round draft picks. At least the Cowboys got 2 first-round draft picks and a player in Kenny Clark. Like, it's not the worst trade package. At least you can squint, and there are some experts and analysts I watched on the Sunday pregame show who think the Cowboys did a good job. Like, got enough.
Okay.
A lot of them. I mean, a lot of people say, like, well, you know what? That's too much money for Micah Parsons. The Cowboys did all right here.
But didn't they also get a second-round pick in Khalil Mack? I know they got a player in Kenny Clark, but it's 2 firsts and a second, I thought was also part of that trade. Anyway, last one here from Jerry, Manny. I'll hear cut 14. Jerry knows Micah's a good player, but getting multiple players is the better option.
We understand what kind of player Micah is. He's an outstanding player, great player. He's a great player, but if the principle specifically is with our system the way we have it today, if we can get 4, 5, 6 players for one player, that's better for our opportunity to win the thing. And that's what it was about.
I love how this number keeps growing. This does remind me of the LeBron, not 5, not 6, not 7. It's like, we're going to trade Michael Parsons for 2 players, maybe 3, maybe 4, maybe 5, maybe 53.
Yeah, now it's a virtual trade all over again.
Not 7.
I mean, just keep going and going. It's like, you got a player in Kenny Clark. That was great. He should end up showing up in that game, you know, more to the naked eye, you know, towards the end of the game when it became more of a defensive battle against the Philadelphia Eagles. But, like, you really going to work this like you're, you know, Sam Presti with the Oklahoma City Thunder? Is this what we're doing NBA style, where these picks are just going to last up until the apocalypse happens? So, I don't know. To me, like, Jerry saying, like, we need more depth pieces, so we had to get rid of Michael Parsons, is a direct reflection on how bad of a GM he is.
Well, let me also flip it.
You built the team.
Why didn't the Chiefs and the Ravens and the Bills, the 3 AFC contenders, come after Michael Parsons hard? I think you have to ask yourself, because I wonder if the money was too much and they didn't want in on that.
There might have been also just a salary cap situation with it being so close to the season. Like, I think the team had to have cap room probably to add him.
But the Eagles, Howie Roseman, reportedly made an offer. I don't know when that offer came. Maybe he had more. That's a good point. But still, like, everybody's getting Mike apart. Like, I'm thinking, like, the Bills-Ravens game, either of those two teams could desperately use. Josh Allen would basically untouched most of the game. They could desperately use Micah Parsons. Why wasn't everybody in on him? I mean, maybe Jerry didn't even take their calls. Who knows in this circus? But I feel like it's interesting to me that not every other team was in on Micah Parsons.
It's like, who's A. Reed calling me? It's possibly me.
Send a voicemail. you know, as far as like the Bills paid everybody. So maybe there was an issue. Yeah. Like, they paid all their own guys this offseason and decided to bring Joey Bosa in. So I don't know.
Yeah,
that's Cowboy quick. You'll hear that.
The Packers are young. So they have cap space left. But they just paid Jordan Love $55 million. I mean, Maggie, you say, is the salary cap real?
No. Not even close. They talk about it. It's not real.
Yeah, just cut a bunch of guys. You have Micah Parsons. Anyway, I just think it's... If I'm an NFC contender, I'm kind of annoyed that Micah Parsons is a Green Bay Packer because, like, you clearly saw it on Sunday, Maggie. Yeah. What is that team with him?
I mean, an NFC contender, how about being a fan? You're like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
You and I disagreed about this at the time. I thought trading him to the Packers was the all-time slap in the face to Cowboy fans.
Right.
The fact that you did trade him to a team you're literally going to see in week four and you hope to see in the playoffs.
Well, I think the ultimate slap would have traded him in division. To see him twice every year. And that's why you will give Jerry credit, at least not taking the Eagles call. If they had to see Micah Parsons twice for the next 8 years, that would be a bad decision.
I'm going to be honest. If I'm a GM, I'm not ever taking Howie Roseman's call.
True. It's like the Atlanta Braves when they call you about a pitcher. Just say no.
Just not happening. I'm not taking Andy Reid's call, you know, or whatever, Brent Veach. I'm not taking anyone's call who's gotten the better, it feels like, of the whole league.
Do not sign a former Baltimore Ravens defensive player. They never work on their second team. Well, maybe mostly don't work.
Steelers wide receivers, you know, when they leave.
One.
There's a couple things you just, like the Ten Commandments, you just don't do it.
Giants wide receivers, they all stink when they leave New York. Back in the day.
That's true. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Welcome to weigh in on what you heard from Jerry. Was this all just part of the plan? Plus, we get to the 49ers making a big move yesterday.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.